So if you have your Bibles, I want you to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 2, and that's where we're going to be today, because today is going to be talking about growth. We're going to be talking about growth for us as parents, growth for you as kids and children and students, teenagers, wherever you are, and us as a church together, as we want to grow in Christ. And that is our prayers, that we would give Christ all the glory. And I love singing that last song that we did, and just, we're going to give glory to Christ today. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead. If you haven't turned there, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 39. Verse 39, that's where we're going to be today. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now, they had performed, just kind of set the scene of who they are, Mary and Joseph, and the child was, of course, Jesus. So, and the favor of God was upon him, Jesus. Now, verse 41. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. This is something they've done before. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey, but then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find them, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to his son, to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So this morning, we're going to talk a lot about growth. We're going to talk about Christ's growth. We're going to talk about our growth in our faith. And as we lean into this new season, this new year, there's a lot of growth. I just finished up reading again Ecclesiastes. There's a time and a season for everything. And that's where we're at today. We're going to be looking at this growth as we go into this new year through this scripture. And we're all in that process of growing. You know, I had a mentor tell me one time that when we think we've all figured it out, when we get to that point, we have one foot in the grave, because we never want to stop growing. We want to have this constant attitude of growth. We want to be a constant student of the word mainly. And so this morning, I want to first talk to you parents, if that's okay. And then children, we're going to talk to you for a second. And then we're going to see how we all play into this, like I said. So parents, number one, first, right out of the gate, growth comes through discipleship. Growth comes through discipleship. Now, did you notice how the scripture started here in verse 39? And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. Now, what we see in Luke's gospel, in this presentation of God's word in Luke's gospel, is we should have an inspirational moment as we see what Mary and Joseph did here in for Jesus. I mean, this should cause us to be inspired to do what they had done. Now, sometimes we could put Mary and Joseph on pedestals and we could think, okay, they were the earthly parents of Jesus. They didn't have any sin. They were kind of perfect, if you will. That's not true. They had sin in their hearts. They had sin in their lives. If we're not careful, we'll put them on a pedestal. I mean, we think about even down to the town where they were from, Nazareth. Now, Nazareth, if you read on in scripture, when Jesus was calling out the disciples, Nathanael said, "Can anything good even come from Nazareth?" Nazareth was a backwoods town, had immoral people. It was just different. It was kind of like my hometown in Loganville, Georgia. Our motto in Loganville was, "Where's Loganville?" It was in the middle of nowhere. Like, seriously, there was nothing there. It was backwoods. All the surrounding areas and all the cities would look at Loganville and just think, man, there's a bunch of rednecks that come from Loganville. They all had summer teeth. Some teeth here, some teeth there. I mean, it was just, that's how they thought of us. And so that was kind of like Nazareth. And we look at this, it was not the ideal place to raise a child. But that's exactly what God chose. That was the city exactly that God chose to bear this child, even to disciple this child. And when we think about today's culture and we think about our city, and we don't necessarily think about maybe Smyrna or Murfreesboro being the worst place, but if we think our world, is our world the best place to raise a child right now? No. We think about times ago. We think about when it was a little easier to raise kids. And we think about all the areas as a parent, like if we could just go back in time and we didn't have the internet. You remember that time when we didn't have the internet? Wasn't it awesome? I mean, all the parents are like, amen. The kids are like, no. But here's the deal. Man, we think about how our kids are bombarded with things. Every turn, every TV station, everything that they're listening to, all their social media are bombarded with the world. And I can really think that Mary and Joseph could relate to us if they were to kind of step in our world. They could see what we would see. But they had something that was a little different than most of us. They consistently and constantly and daily poured God's word into Jesus and their other kids. They consistently poured God's word. I think about what the word of God kind of tells us that takes place in Jesus, culturally, what Jesus would have done. Jesus would have learned first, the word of God at home. Discipleship starts at home. And with Mary and Joseph, they consistently and often poured that discipleship into Jesus at home, and then rabbinical school, and then the synagogue, and then church. But it all started at home. I think about Jesus by the time he was growing up, because this is taking place between his birth and his baptism. So as he's growing up, he would have memorized the scripture probably in both Greek and Hebrew. He would have known the Psalms. He would have been singing these Psalms and probably memorized all of them. And even on the way to Jerusalem, that his family would have been singing the songs of ascent. They would have had this memorized. It would have been something that it would just come second nature to them. It was a mandatory thing to go to church, to go to the synagogue. There was never a moment where Joseph walked into Jesus's room and said, "All right, son, you want to go to church today?" Never happened. There was never a moment where Jesus would even dare ask, "Hey, should we go to church today, or you want to go do something else?" Like, it was mandatory. They knew that if it was Sabbath, man, it was time to go. It was time to rest. It was time to observe what God had called them to do. They were passionate about it. Even to the point, we think Jesus was probably about 12 years old here, where he was becoming this man, this young man. And at 12 years old, he would become a bar mitzvah. He was becoming a bar mitzvah, a son of the commandment. And so at 12 years old, this is probably what's happening in this scene where Jesus is being brought to the temple and Mary and Joseph. Joseph is showing him around, showing him what's going on, showing him all the details of the temple, which he's seen before. But as he's becoming this young man, he's becoming the son of the commandment. He's getting a kind of a backstage pass on what to do. And so Joseph and Mary are consistently and constantly pouring God's word into Jesus. And we see this. And we don't know a lot about the personal life of Mary and Joseph. We see a few things. We probably see more goods than bads. But here in this scene, if we were just kind of to peel it back, this was one of those moments in Mary and Joseph's life that if it would have happened today, it would have been on all the headlines. Everybody would have talked about it. I mean, we see this. And what did they do? They accidentally left Jesus behind. They left Jesus in the temple. So they're leaving from the temple. They're going on. And here's what happens. You'd have ants, much like this today. It would be like all of us going to the synagogue together, families and friends and acquaintances. We were all traveling together. And the women and children would be in the front of the group. And the men and the boys would be at the back of the group. And so as they're traveling away from Jerusalem, they're leaving the temple. It was the ultimate, I thought he was with you moment. Because Mary goes to Joseph and, you know, just kind of unpack this, kind of set the scene. Mary goes to Joseph and said, hey, have you seen Jesus? And Joseph goes, no, I thought he was with you. And Mary goes, no, I thought he was with you. And then they have that home alone moment. Jesus, you know, that kind of thing. And so they go back. And where do they find him? They find him in the temple. They find him teaching. They find him right where he was supposed to be. Here's the deal. We look at that and we say, how did you forget Jesus? Mary and Joseph, mom and dad. But here's the deal. They weren't perfect. They were like you and I. They have flaws. But here's the deal. God's not looking for flawless disciplers. God's not looking at you that you need to be perfect as you disciple your kids. He's looking for faithful disciples. You be faithful, mom and dad. You be faithful, grandparents, to pour into your kids the word of God. Pour this word into them every single day. Your kids should see you reading your Bible. It should not be, it should bother them that they wake up in the morning or they go to bed at night and think back at their day and think, I didn't see mama read her Bible today. I didn't see daddy in the word. That should be the surprise. It's our responsibility as parents. It's our responsibility. And so mom and dad, if we want it to be important to our kids, guess what? It's got to be important to us. And we have got to lean into God's word. And trust me, it's faithful. It's true. It's God's thoughts on everything. And we can do this. We need it. We can't go one day without it. And so friends, I want to just challenge you. I want to encourage you. Drink from the cup, drink from the well of God's word every single day. Because if we want that for our kids, it starts with us. So parents, that was for you. Kids, listen up. This is for you guys. Man, we're glad that you're here. Man, when we think about this, we think about growth. And for you kids, growth takes place in loving God with our minds, with our minds. This discipleship takes place with loving God in our minds. Now, have you ever heard that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man? Students, have you ever heard? We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. And that's 100% correct. Jesus, he was true God. He is true God. Everything that's true about God is true about Jesus. And everything that's true about man is true about Jesus, except one thing, sin. Jesus was perfect. He didn't have one sin. He never committed any sin in his life. And that, as a 12-year-old, we think even as a 12-year-old, he was perfect. He never messed up. And what happens? He goes to the temple and starts teaching these adults. I mean, we have some pretty deep theological discussions around the hallways of LifePoint every once in a while. And if a 12-year-old comes up and walks up in the hallway and starts running circles around us, that would be surprising. It can happen. I'm not saying it can't. And how do I know it can happen? Because we see Jesus do it, because he was 100% God. He was 100% man. It's easy to say, well, he was Jesus. He was God. He was 100% God. So he used that portion when he was speaking to the rabbis and the teachers. No. He just doesn't flip it on and flip it off when he wants. It's all connected together. And how do we know this? Because when Jesus grows up and he starts teaching, he says the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Why would he say that? Why would he throw those things in there? Because it's super important to Jesus. is super important to God. He cares about what we think about. He cares about the things that go through our mind. I mean, we think about this, like, let me ask this question. Do you love the Lord your God with all your mind every single day? Every thought brings glory to the Lord. I wish I could say that was the same for me. And if we were to be honest, we could just say right now, no, moms, dads, kids, we could say, no, we don't have that. Why? Because we're sinful people. We have thoughts that go away from us. We have thoughts that are fleeting. We have thoughts that are thinking about, and I'm not just thinking bad stuff. It's just, we're not constantly thinking about the word of God or thinking about God. And we need to be encouraged by that. We need to be encouraged by what God says, that we need to love him with all of our minds. Now, I know for a fact there's some 12-year-olds that are in here that are like Fortnite champions. You say, but the kids can't do much. No, listen, they have created whole cities and civilizations on Minecraft. Listen, they know what's up. We got engineers and architects all across the room. I mean, we think about there's kids in here that are making straight A's on math questions and tests that moms and dads, we can't, listen, we can't even remember that stuff. It still blows me away that there's letters in math. That doesn't make sense. Why would you put, they don't mix. Listen, kids are capable of a lot more than we give them credit for. I mean, I think about the things that our kids think about today that are most important to them. We got social media and we got Fortnite, we got video games, all these things. But at the end of the day, God's not going to look at you, kid. He's not going to say, child, oh, you had this many followers on TikTok? You kept your streaks for this long? You had that many victory royales? Come on into heaven. That's it. You got it. You made it. Come on in. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. And so when we say the kids don't want to read their Bible or they can't read their Bible, I would say, oh, I think they can. It just needs to be a priority in their lives. Students, kids, children, I would say, I would implore you to look at God's word and read it and heat it up, because it's so important. You say, well, it's not relevant for things of today. Oh, let me tell you, it is. God's word is living and active. And when we apply ourselves to learn God's word with our minds, he will reveal himself to us in ways that we can't understand. But I think about this, so, you know, as being a youth pastor, I see this, and what causes kids not to do this? Well, I really think it's two things, really, when it comes down to the end of the day. Number one is fear. Number one is fear. That's a fear of, really, it's FOMO. You ever heard of FOMO? Fear of missing out. That truly is why it's so hard for our teenagers and our students and our kids to not be on their devices. They're feeling like they're gonna miss out on what the world, on their virtual world, that's fantasy world, that's not even real. They're feeling like they're gonna miss out on. And so they gotta go back to it. But you know the number two reason it's so hard for a kid to go not to God's word, but to those other things? It's parents, it's us. I mean, think back when we're sitting at a restaurant and our kids are kind of squirming around. What do? We pull out our phones and hand it to them. Think back in middle school when they look at you and say, well, all my friends have one. All my friends have a phone. All my friends have a social media. Why can't I have one? And we go, okay. And they nag us till we give in. We think, okay, they're in high school and they're such good kids. They never cause us any problems. But what are they doing? They're on their phone the whole time, and we don't know what's going on. The world is bombarding them with things. It's unimaginable. So what do we need to do? I'm going to go back to it every single time. God's word. God's word has got to be in the forefront, students, children, of your mind. And you got to wake up and want to read God's word. You know, I'm reminded of Psalm 1. You know, in the morning, we meditate. And at night, we meditate on God's word. And that's what we should do. That's what we should want to do. Why? Because if we call ourselves Christians, if God has saved us, we want to have this constant conversation with God. And we can. Think about it. We can talk to the creator of the universe. We have direct access to the King. That should make us move in our spirit, because it should cause us to go back to God's word every single day. So parents, discipleship comes. That growth comes through discipleship. Kids, that growth comes from our minds in God's word. But we need to understand this last point. Growth takes time. Growth takes time. You know, I'm reminded of what God's word says, that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. He grew. He just wasn't born and then became a man. This was a constant growth. I mean, 12-year-old minded Jesus was in the temple teaching and preaching in front of so many adults, these teachers and rabbis. I'm reminded of Hebrews 5:8, that Jesus learned obedience. Jesus learned obedience. Growth takes time. Growth takes time. And we need to lean in. Sometimes it's not easy, right? Sometimes we just want to make it happen, right? We're so fixed with the microwave generation. We got to think not microwave, but a crock pot. We got to think it takes a little time for this to grow. It takes a little time, and it's going to be some joys, and there's going to be some heartaches. There's going to be some good times, and there's going to be some pain. But at the end of the day, it's worth it, right? That's why when we lean into this new reading plan coming up in January, we want you as a family to lean into this so hard. It's called the F260 Foundations Plan, whatever you want to call it. But it's 260 days, 5 out of 7 days a week. You'll hear more about it. But we want you as a family to lean into this. Student ministry, kids ministry, D groups, we're leaning into this. Because we want you to grow. We want you to see God's word come alive through the New Testament. We want you to see how pertinent God's word is for us and how applicable it is for us today. We want you to lean in to God's word. And so you can go to the website, find more information about it. You can find it through emails. We've sent it. You go to the app. You can see that stuff. But we want you to lean into that this year. Because it was important to Mary and Joseph as Jesus was growing up. It's got to be important to us. And what do we see here? What does this take? It takes discipline. It takes discipline. It takes us really looking at ourselves in the mirror and going, okay, I need to put Jesus first and foremost in every single part of my life. And it starts with me. It takes discipline. I mean, I'm reminded of what God's word says about discipline. In Proverbs, I read this a few weeks ago in my quiet time again. You know, it says this, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from them. Proverbs says, discipline your son, for there is hope. Some of you feel like there's no hope right now. I mean, you got to understand, your kids are sinners. And some of you are going, you ain't telling me nothing I don't already know, Ryan. But so are we. And because of that, we have to be disciplined for God's word. As a parent, it is our call. It is our job to step into their lives and protect our children. It is our job to dig our heels in the sand and say, we are not moving from this. From what God's word says, I don't care what the world says. I am standing on God's word. And that's what it takes. And that's what God's word says. Why would he say over and over in Proverbs, do not withhold discipline from a child? Folly is bound up in their hearts. Their first instinct most of the time is to sin. And so is ours. Well, how do we change that? How do we change that? I think about I tell our students all the time, how does the enemy attack? He attacks in three ways. He attacks your time with God. He attacks you with temptation. And then he attacks you with shame and guilt. I can go back and I talk to someone who is struggling in a sin, teenager, adult, and I can always go back with, how is your time with the Lord? And more often than not, it's non-existent. We have to guard our time with God. That's the most important thing. And we cannot expect, as parents, we can't expect it to happen overnight. We must offer grace. We must be patient. I mean, we think about us. We've been Christians for decades. We have many, many years under our belts, many, many sermons that we've sat in, many, many D groups, many, many revivals, however you grew up. Man, we know God's word. We have a chance to read God's word. But for them, we've got to show grace. We've got to show love. We've got to show compassion. We got to bring them up. We got to walk with them, parents. We got to understand that when they sin, we don't discipline them because their sin offends us. We discipline them because their sin offends God. And when we understand the importance of that, we take a look at our own lives and we think, okay, where am I at with that? Man, if their sin offends God, my sin offends God. And I don't want to offend God. I don't want to stand before God. And as he's looking over those things that I've done in my life, I look back about all the time that I've wasted. No, I want to look back and think, man, I did my best. I did my best to pour Jesus into my kids. I was talking to Nathaniel Hale the other day about this app that I have. And this is what, like, a really, really good app, but at the same time, it's a really, really tough app. It's called Parent Q, and I downloaded it the other day. It's a free app. And it tells you, you can put your kid's birthday in there, and it tells you how many weeks you have until their graduation. Whew. Man, it is such a tough app because we understand that time is short. I think about my daughter, my oldest daughter. She graduates in 2.5 years. That's that. Where has the time? I'm not going to start crying. Get back in there, tear. Listen, time goes by fast. Time goes by fast, and we do not have any time to waste. This year, what if this year, parents, we said we are making a stand on God's word? I don't care what the world says. I don't care what they're doing on TikTok. I don't care what they're doing on Twitter. I don't care. We're digging in on God's word. Children, what if you said, students, I don't care what my friends at school say. I don't even care what they think. I'm digging in God's word. You imagine the change that would happen in the schools around our county? Whew. We'd be talking about it on the news. We'd be talking about it, not just local, but world news. Something's happened. Revivals happen. Why? It's not because of us. It's because of God and his word. That's how important this is. That's how important this is as we lean in to who God's called us to be as parents. God's called us to be as kids. But here's the deal. What God has called us to be as his children, we should lean into him. And he has something big to tell us every day. So moms and dads, I implore you, put Jesus first. Students, I implore you. Kids, I implore you, put Jesus first in everything you say and do. Is it going to be easy every time? No, it probably won't. I promise you it'll be better because you're not ever going to be alone. You have a Savior who's standing right beside you and has a plan for your life, mom and dad. Your families are not wrecked. Put him first. Kids, put him first. So this morning, we're going to end in a little different way. We're going to end a little differently. The band's not going to come out. And this being a family service, I thought it might be cool to do something different as a family. You know, this is the last time we're gathering this year as a church family. I thought it might be cool for a second. So if you wouldn't mind just standing with me for a second, I'll kind of lead us through a prayer time. I want to lead us through a prayer time. If you have your kids with you, I know some kids might be kind of spread out through the building. This would be okay. I want families to kind of go together right now. If your child is with you, I want you to hold their hand. If you're students, if you're sitting with some friends, I know our student section, if you got some, your family's around, go find your mom and dad for a second. Just go with me here. We got some movement, that's okay. But here's what I want you to do. Moms and dads, hold your kid's hand. Put your arms around them for a second. Awesome. Yeah, just go where you are. Here's what I want you to do. Moms and dads, in just a moment, I'm going to have you pray over your kids. For some of you, your kids aren't in the room. Some of your kids are grown. Take this moment to pray for your grown kids right now. Take you this moment to pray for your kids that aren't in the room. Some of you have lost children, and this is hard. I get it. God's given you grace, and he's given you influence over others. Pray that God will allow you to pour in to another generation. Some of you are with child right now. Pray for that child to grow up in the love of Jesus. So right now, I want to ask that if you're in this room, I want you to pray for your kids, and I want you to pray for them out loud. I want them to hear you. And then I'll come back and I'll give you another prayer point as we move on. So on the count of three, let's pray for our children, parents, grandparents. Let's pray for them. One, two, three. Let's pray. If you're at home, join us. If you're watching on the couch or in your living room, gather your kids up. Pray for those children right now. Pray over them. Pray that just a prayer of blessing. Pray that God wouldn't just be with them, but that God would move in their lives. Love the thought that God hears each and every one of our prayers right now. He hears. Here's where I want to move us to now. Kids, students, children, I want you to pray for your parents. I want you to pray over them. They're not perfect. They make mistakes. They mess up. Pray that God would bless them. Pray that God would love on them. God would encourage them. Pray over your parents right now. If you're watching at home, join them. Join these in the house, in your house. Children, kids, students, pray over your parents. On the count of three, one, two, three, pray for your parents. Right now. God, we give you glory. We give you praise. You deserve it all. You're an amazing God. There's no one like you. You're magnificent. You're holy. You're the true vine. All good things come from you. So, Father, I ask that you would bless the families that are in this room. You would bless the families that are watching online, that you would reign supreme. You would reign in 2022. God, we would see you in a different way. God, that you would move in a different way in 2022. That you would flood our hearts with your love, your compassion. God, that we would love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God, we wouldn't just do that, but we would love our neighbor as ourselves. And our very first neighbor is the people in our homes. So God, I pray that we remember that it comes back to starting with loving you first. So God, today we give you glory. Today we give you honor. Today we give you praise because you're the only one who deserves it. God, bless these families. Bless these moms. Bless these dads. Bless these children. In the mighty name of Jesus, because there's no other name. We pray in that wonderful name. Amen. We pray that you're blessed today. We pray that you feel loved, you're encouraged today. We pray that